This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In your specific situation. And when it comes to marketing for your business, it's exactly the same thing. When you make a call for help, it's because you want it to work. It all starts with a conversation. Call Entercom now at 384-5900 and ask for Rachel. That's 384-5900.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Presented live and locally by the Wing Guru. The Wing Guru.
Hey, who that, man, this what you've been waiting for. I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, though, because now I'm getting hot enough to we want to stay at home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television. And did I fail the mission? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrate it, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn, then I redecorated. That mean my table turned. Live life, might as well. Only way to learn is try and fail. Clientele, the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that got that flame? Who that got that flame? Who that got that flame? So don't worry about my name. I got
a flame. All right. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Welcome to February 19th. We are here, and we're one day away from the Grizzlies resuming action. Everybody, that's eagerly anticipated, and we all are anticipating that. The Grizzlies getting back in action. The entire league gets swinging back into action tomorrow. But before we do that, there's obviously some business. The University of Memphis tonight, John Martin, invites the East Carolina Pirates in for a look. They're all big for Memphis at this point with your back in the corner like it is for Memphis. John, it's a must-win against a team you should knock out pretty early, don't you think?
That's right. I mean, listen, it's a good time, right? It comes at a good part of the schedule because Memphis, as you point out, has lost three in a row, and that stinks. That's probably not a fun thing to be going through right now. And so good timing, you know, snap out of that.
Yeah, get-right game, maybe?
I mean, that's exactly what it is.
Get-right game.
You know, it's not exactly get-right in the sense that maybe we thought it would be, but at the same time, you've been stuck on 17 for a while, trying to get to 18, and tonight represents a good opportunity to do that. Jason's got the East Carolina roster. He'll be breaking down sort of the way they
play. I know
about
Jaden Gardner. That's about it.
so we'll get into sort of what they do. And is it Joe Dooley? Is that the coach at East Carolina?
Okay. Correct.
Former Kansas assistant coach.
6-point game here last year.
Yeah.
Gardner's a solid player.
Good player.
You heard Penny talking about him yesterday.
Yeah, good player.
The rest of the team, I'm not so – I'm a little hazy on, John.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe –
forgive me.
Maybe
you'll – 200-something at Ken.
Maybe you'll get a full breakdown of the Pirates. Maybe you won't. Nobody knows. But, yes, the Memphis Tigers are in action tonight down at FedEx Forum, trying to get, like we said, off the schneid and get to number 18. We have a big show planned for you today. Let's go through it. 11:25, we're going to be joined by Mark Giannotto like we are every single Wednesday. Lots to get to with him, including Memphis basketball, the Grizzlies, All-Star Weekend. Lots to get to with Mark Giannotto. He'll join us at 11:25. 12:25, Brian Scalabrini from Radio.com Sports is going to join us. We will talk to him about the NBA, about All-Star Weekend, about Ja Morant, the Grizzlies, Jason Tatum. All of that we'll do with Brian Scalabrini at 12:25. And then at 1:25, Anthony Sain's going to be here. He was at All-Star Weekend. We'll get his thoughts on the weekend and where everything –
up there shivering.
Yeah, it was very cold up there. Not built for that. Would you rather be too hot or too cold?
I'd rather be
– there's a right answer.
Too cold, because you can put more layers on. With heat, you can only get so naked, right? You can still be hot. You can be hot out there. You can't take off any more clothes. You understand what I'm saying? You can only get down to your skin. With clothes, you can continue to layer up, and eventually you will warm up and be fine.
I can't function in cold weather. I would rather be too hot. I'd rather sweat than shiver. That's where I'm at. I wonder if there's. I wonder if there is a.
The right answer is too cold.
I wonder if there is a.
Rather be too cold.
Is there a divider here? Like, am I crazy for wanting to be too hot? You know, but I'm also going to hell. So I've totally. I have already accepted.
You shouldn't accept
my
that.
Fate.
No, you still.
I've already accepted.
You
that.
Have plenty of time to change that.
We
and
shall
change
see
the direction.
Many people thought that,
and you should aspire to change it.
Yeah. But I think that might have something to do with it. I'm already comfortable with sort of my future arrangement, you know, being too hot.
Well, you do the little Michael Jackson shoulder move there with it. Like, you cool with being an L, huh? Like, you ready for the call.
It's just you accept
okay.
it, man.
All right.
You accept it.
Don't do it.
But no, Anthony Sands going to be here at 1:25. So that's the show today. We are looking forward to it. A couple things that we need to address, though. Got the call this morning. Got the news this morning. That there's a huge event coming to Memphis in June. I cannot believe it. I saw it, and I could not believe my eyes. I've wondered, at what point will we be blessed with this event? And, you know, what would we get last year? The TBT? We always get the Dookie TBT that we have to pretend like we care about in the middle of the summer. We're getting the Big Three, ladies and gentlemen. The Big Three's coming to Memphis.
Oh, it feels huge.
And coming to FedEx Forum. And it's actually the start of the Big Three 2020 schedule.
The whole season.
Man. So I'm assuming you're going to have Ice Cube in the building, Clyde Drexler. Do you know Clyde Drexler's like the president of the Big Three?
I didn't realize he'd taken on that role.
He has. And I'm sure he probably doesn't really do anything. Like, probably just like offers his name and face, you know. But the Big Three is coming to Memphis. Let me ask you this.
Brad, were you aware of this huge news?
No.
Yep.
Now, we know how Brad is on these things. Brad thinks
you
these things are silly.
You might want to tune in because I think that, look, they've drawn huge crowds. Where
yeah, tell me why I should be interested.
Well, because you're going to have a chance to see Ketino Mobley. That's why, Brad. You're going to have a chance to see some of the
some of the
great players of
you should have said Quintel Woods
yesteryear.
First.
Brad, you don't have any interest in seeing old basketball players play 3-on-3 half court?
I see them all over town every week usually.
No, you don't see them like this.
Not like these former
yeah,
pros.
Yeah, come
dude.
On, Brad.
This is
you don't
huge.
See Ketino Mobley and Jamal Tinsley. I mean, you don't see these guys suit up.
Listen, I think the fact that it's at FedEx Forum tells me something. It's
Brian
not
Scalabrine.
Brian Scalabrine on alum of 3-on-3.
Has he not played in this thing, John? Mm. He was a big three man.
There you go.
I think I don't really care about any sort of knockoff basketball thing, but I would care about the Big Three if we can get like an all Memphis and we've already kind of seen like you talked about Quintel Woods and maybe some other ones.
Quintel is good in this thing.
Yeah, but I was thinking like. Maybe for the purposes of this event being in Memphis and it being the tip off, like maybe we can get like a very special Memphis team. Like for example, if you wanted to go, I want two Memphis teams. I want an all Memphis State team and I want a Memphis City Hooper Legend team. Okay, So I'm stuck on two on the Memphis City Hooper Legend team. So maybe we can fill that one out. But on the Memphis State team, I'm going super old. I'm going like, man, probably they don't even, like, they wake up with, like, back pain and stuff, but I want them in this event because it means something to me. So Memphis State team of William Bedford, he's going to sort of.
Oh, okay. You're starting
no,
on
he's play. He's going to.
Well, he's done playing. You've seen him sit here.
It's no, like, I know he thought he was done playing. Then the Big Three came to town. So he's going to man the paint, all right? So we got that taken care of. Dexter Reed, who, as everybody knows.
Oh, Deadeye.
Is an absolute legend. And if the three-point
man, you got the old players
if the,
coming
if,
out.
If the three-point shot existed when he played in the 70s, the guy you wouldn't even be able to come close to catching him in the scoring record books. And then we're going to have my man John Wilfong running point and sort of directing traffic.
Okay.
So that's
loved all those guys when they were Tigers. Is this the best team you can put together of former Tigers? You know what I'm saying? Like a team that could actually win, or that's going to be a team.
No,
that
this is a tribute team.
Rubbing
this
some,
is a tribute team.
You rubbing some muscle cream on.
This
you know
is a,
what
yeah.
I'm saying? That seemed like you
no, this
you
is a
aged
tribute.
Up there.
Now, this is a tribute team. This is a team that's paying tribute to some of the best hoopers that have come through. And you think about the glory days of Memphis State basketball. I think those three men, don't they embody that? Don't they really embody that? I mean, Penny ain't going to play in this. That's too obvious. All right, so that's done. That the Memphis State team is spoken for. Now I want to get to the real team.
Go for like guys like Rodney Carney that are like still active and playing.
Too young.
You could actually make a
you have
make
to
a
be 40.
To the championship.
You have to be 40 to play in this event. I thought that was that you had to be at least 40. That was the age minimum.
That cannot be true.
But then the real team that I would try to assemble to win this thing would be the Memphis City like hooping legends like Jonathan Lowe, who just lights it up everywhere he goes. You remember Jonathan Lowe?
Former Bartlett hooper, no?
Yeah, I mean, you can say it with a little bit more gusto, man. Mm-hmm. Former Bartlett hooper, you remember, all right? Then he went to Ole Miss. I think he played for Rod Barnes down there. I don't know if he's down there for very long. But Jonathan Lowe still's got it. He's got a great beard. T-Head, I don't know if he's
Brad actually mentioned.
Is he free? If he's available and not, you know, maybe incarcerated or otherwise tied up. I'd love to have T-Head in this event. Now, I'm stuck on those two, though. We need a big. We need a Memphis hooping legend big to man the paint on this big three team.
That's now that you can just go pull off. That's here. This is not a Memphis State guy.
No, it's just like a guy who just lit it up in the city, you know, in the high school ranks.
Go get Tyler Stone, the former Central High big man cut up Memphis when he's playing for Arkansas State. Go get I'm trying to think of other bigs that have come through here.
We don't have that many, do we?
Well, that have left and gone on and done great things, bigs.
Yeah.
A lot of guards.
Yeah.
I'll tell you about one last night. Just did a lot for the number five team in the country, Jalen Crutcher.
What about Arnett Moultrie?
Moultrie was a guy, between UTEP and Mississippi State?
Yes.
Yes. Were those the two schools?
Yeah. Okay. Where did he go to high school?
He was at Trezvent and Raleigh, Egypt, I want to tell you.
Arnett Moultrie could get on the team.
Well, you're putting me on the spot here
nobody knows preps
there.
Like you, though,
with
man.
My prep
you're
knowledge
the,
there, putting
you're
me
the
on
prep
the spot.
Wizard.
I didn't realize you were so passionate about this big three, John. I really didn't.
I'm not, unless you do this, unless you put this team together. And I guess my question to you would be, like, obviously, I'm assuming the big three, when they announced it this morning.
What is the date?
It's June 20th.
Okay, because I got to start looking now. You're playing so much. I got to make sure this is real.
Oh, it is real. They definitely announced it this morning. My question to you would be, like, I'm assuming that they made this decision strategically. There's a reason that they chose the city of Memphis for this. Do you particularly enjoy watching the Big Three? Like, do you sit around watching it during the summer?
I have not, but I have been. The times that I've been drawn to it, a lot of times to see Quintel Woods play, the former Carver standout here, who went straight to the NBA, I have been a little bit amazed by the crowds they're still drawing in the spots, and it made you think, okay, well, at some point, Memphis makes a lot of sense being a basketball town. Maybe you hit it. Now, Memphis in the summer times, you know, it can be hit or miss with your events. You bring something through here. That said, you bring the right team, right? You bring the right group of folks, and to your point, it's the kickoff.
Yep.
So you figure you'll have all the glitz
here.
And glamour and Ice Cube all out there. It feels like it'll be a pretty good deal. I haven't sat and watched it to the point, John, that I know the team's records and I could tell you who won last year.
Oh, God.
But for the times that I have watched it that weren't just like memes and all that, like Rappaport being silly or something, I've been amazed by the crowds they've still continued to draw.
Well, that's where I would go is that, I mean, this thing is like, for what it is, pretty successful. Mm-hmm. You know, like I don't think I was expecting it to still be around in 2020.
You and me both.
You know, like I mean, I
have to wonder if you know overall has Ice Cube, you know, lost money overall on this whole thing, because again, you know, you only have a limited, you got a limited schedule. It's set in the summertime, and a lot of time again in the summer we're doing our own thing. We're on vacations. How many people could tell you who won it last year? That's the point.
Right. Right.
Very few.
It's like the TBT thing.
It's a fringe fan, a thing you get drawn into if you're on a Saturday.
Now,
you ain't
got
anything else to do.
You will. If you're not doing anything, you'll take CJ.
Well, I'd really take him if you have these Memphis-based teams in it.
Yeah, like
yes. But yes.
I mean, because he would never otherwise be able to see, you know, a team of William Bedford and Dexter Reed and John Wilfong.
Yeah. Yeah. You surprised me there with where you
That's
went.
That's a good team, you know? Like if it was 1980, like I'm taking that team over everybody.
Again, seemed like you could get some former guys that are a little bit younger, former Tigers too.
Maybe.
Right? Just as if like in the Rodney Carney age group. You know what I'm saying? And actually do this and try to.
Didn't Sean Williams play in this? I feel like Sean Williams would be good in it. You know, D. Wash already played in it Or maybe that was TBT.
TBT.
I get the two mixed up. Mm-hmm. But like TBT, you know,
that's what I'm talking about with the sort of summer basketball hit or miss. Memphis tried it last year. Obviously, it was here.
D-Wash, Sean Williams, you know, Joey Dorsey or something like that. But, I mean, Joey Dorsey's having a successful career overseas.
So. I don't think you went to TBT here last year, did you?
I did not.
That's what I'm saying. It's tough. It's tough in the summer times to get folks.
I'd be interested to see.
Big Three appears to be one of the things that has been at least somewhat sustainable, so we'll see.
Yeah, so anyway, it's coming to Memphis June 20th. So be on the lookout.
You got me excited about that, John.
Huh?
I'm so excited. You've got me through. You got the entire city ready for this.
Yeah. Because you can go see Arnett Moultrie, T-Head, and Jonathan Lowe, man. I mean, what they should do is they should just organize, they should just have every high school pick, like, three of their best players and just have a tournament field of, like, old Memphis City schools. You know, like Melrose versus White Station, Germantown versus.
You might have a few come out. This is a sad state of affairs when this is drawing more passion out of you than a Memphis East Carolina game tonight.
Well,
sad that, and it says more about where Memphis is right now, certainly than anything it does with you. I would say.
Well, if Memphis was undefeated, I would not have a bunch of passion about
East
Carolina.
That's not true at all. It's not true at all.
I mean, East Carolina's coming in as a 13-point underdog. Here's the thing about East Carolina. Okay, this is a game that you know can if it won't for Penny, but this is a game that can get coaches fired. East Carolina, right?
A lot of pain after some East Carolina losses.
Like when Josh lost to East Carolina, how many times he only lost to East Carolina once, right? Or was it twice?
I can't tell you off the top of my head how many times.
They run
like
together.
It was more than once.
They run together.
I know you lost to them at least once there.
Yeah, they run together. But I remember after Josh Pastner lost to East Carolina, like the president wanted to fire him. You know, I mean, like again, that's not where we are with Penny, but that like it's a
wasn't it East Carolina for Tubby?
I believe it was. It was. I believe it was. Yeah. Like, I mean, East Carolina is just they're like the Grim Reaper, man. You know, they can end a season. They can end a career.
And yet you're not suggesting that's what's going to happen tonight.
Oh, Jesus, no. But,
yes.
But I mean,
you wouldn't have led with Big Three if you thought it was.
No. First of all, Memphis should take care of East Carolina. I mean,
that's what you hope. Yeah. Like, this is a situation where it feels like with six left in the regular season, this is an opportunity to get right. Now, to John's point, they've given – East Carolina will give you a tussle if you want to play silly and go out there and play slow, mm-hmm. right, and let them continue to stay in games. I think last year Memphis played around a little bit. It was only a 6-point game. But let's fast forward to this year. They just had Cincinnati on the ropes, took them to overtime. Now, most of the time that's going to be over in Greenville where they give you that kind of game. That said, you know, if you go in here thinking they're going to lay down for you, you're looking forward to the two with Houston, the one more you got left with Wichita State and thinking, oh, my mind's set on quad one wins. East Carolina could make you real sad tonight. So that and we've seen Memphis be let's face it, anemic at times offensively.
Absolutely.
To where you're not running off on anybody. So you have to absolutely take this seriously. Look, Memphis in a position where it needs to run the table, quite frankly, if it's gonna any chance of that large, which we all feel like is slim and none. And other than that, forget it. If you're not even gonna run the table, you gotta get if you're not gonna get some kind of mojo working with you, get some kind of groove against East Carolina, well, it certainly ain't going to happen for you against Houston or against Wichita State.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of game you want it to happen. You got to take them seriously because Jaden Gardner, the big kid they got in the middle, the sophomore, he averages a double-double. He's 20-10, basically, in the middle, and you got to take him seriously.
The sad thing that you pointed out to me today, which is absolutely true, is that if Memphis had just not lost to South Florida at home, and if they had just not blown a double-digit lead against SMU with 6 minutes left. I mean, that SMU game was just weird because they controlled it and were the better team for 35 minutes. I mean, they just were. And then the wheels fell off just out of nowhere. If they don't lose those games.
And you're sitting where Cincy's sitting right now.
They're in the NCAA tournament as an at-large. You're sitting here with 19. Right. You're 19 and
right.
6.
Right.
You're going to be 20-6 after tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're a top 4 seed in the AAC.
That's why I'm saying there's still reason to play. There's still things that are worth fixing. That's what I'm saying is that there was enough talent here. Again, John, if you get those games you're supposed to have, you're on the inside looking out. You're then inside. You're worse. I feel like you're where Cincy is. You've already got the at-large berth if you take care of business. And again, how's that possible? Well, it's possible because even without James Wiseman, right, what was that, three games? So almost the entirety of your season, you're a top 15 team in the country defensively. Yes, you lose DJ Jeffries, but we know, again, offensively and from a talent standpoint, there's enough there to hold on against the South Florida and against an SMU, and that was the issue because, again, if you get those wins, you are in the tournament. And, again, we're saying that's a great coaching job by Penny Hardaway. So that's why tonight matters. Because, again, if you can get tonight, right, not stub your toe, then go out and get the ones that you've pointed out, the quad one wins you've got, well, then you've still got opportunity here. And listen, the with the way things have gone to make the tournament, again, would be a great job by Penny Hardaway. There's no sense in saying, well, there's nothing left to play for here. No need to pay any attention. There's a lot left to play for. A lot of development that still needs to be done.
Yep.
Not just for this season, but obviously looking ahead to next year as
well. That's right. And we're gonna get into some new potential transfer changes that may or may not benefit Memphis. Right. Speaking of next year, I mean, I'd expect Memphis sort of with the way that the high school 2020 class is working out, Memphis is gonna be very active. Very active in the transfer market, very active in the grad transfer market, and that could be seismic changes coming to that, which should benefit Memphis. But we'll get into that all a little bit later in the show. So Memphis, East Carolina tonight, and then again, mark your calendar. Go ahead and do it right now.
Man, I am, John.
June 20th. I need to see you and CJ out there.
See
front
Bedford
row.
Out there, huh?
You can go hang out with Ice Cube. You know what I'm saying? He's got some good ones. No Vaseline. Y'all can recite the lines to that one. One of the great diss tracks of all time. Y'all can reminisce on sort of all that went into that track. You know, things
Ice
like that.
Cube is a living legend.
He really is. He doesn't get enough
reinvented
credit.
Reinvented himself.
He doesn't. Yeah, he really has. I mean, again, actor. He's made some bad ones. The road trip movies, terrible. Some of the worst films ever made.
And then they check him in as Doughboy and Boys in the Hood.
But yes, I mean. Friday, the Friday series, you can't, you know, that the impact culturally from that was just, you can't really, you're still feeling it to this day. But again, did he undo it with the road trip movies?
No, he didn't undo it.
Okay, all right. I mean, there's a conversation to be had there, but perhaps we'll do that on a different day. But go ahead, mark your calendars. June 20th, FedEx Forum. Don't miss it. The Big Three's coming. We got William Bedford, John Wilfong, Dexter Reed. They're going to be in action. Stick around for that. All right, when we come back, Mark Giannotto is going to be in studio. We'll talk to him what he thinks about the Big Three as the sports columnist here in Memphis. Lots more to come. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
20 ribeyes for $30 at 3 locations in Memphis right now. For a limited time, hurry now. 20 ribeyes for $30. EBT, credit cards, debit cards, all payments accepted. Last chance to compare 5-star steaks to Omaha Steak Box steak deals and save on the ribeyes. 20 ribeyes for $30. Look for the big tent in the parking lot of Wolf Chase Mall, the South Haven Town Center, and Oak Court Mall right now. Also on the big truck, crazy deals on premium steaks, pork, seafood, and gourmet chicken breasts. Everything must go. It's a truckload meat mania sale. Look for the big tent and truck in the parking lot of Wolf Chase Mall at the Highway 64 entrance and at the South Haven Town Center in front of JCPenney's across from Fox and Hounds. And also look for the big tent in the parking lot of Oak Court Mall directly in front of the food court on Poplar Street. Crazy deals on Kansas City strips, New York strips, fillets, bacon wrap fillets, mega ribeyes, and get 20 ribeyes for $30. 3 locations in Memphis, open 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. in the parking lot of Wolf Chase Mall, the South Haven Town Center, and Oak Court Mall.
You've got a car to sell, so you start thinking, what, this is going to be fun? Ha! You're really thinking, what a pain. It's going to take forever. I'm going to have to haggle with dealers or handle everything myself.
It doesn't have to be that way. GiveMeTheVIN.com is a much better way to go. Hi, I'm John Clay Wolf, and working with my company, GiveMeTheVIN.com is simple, fast, and I guarantee you more money for your car. Stop placing your own ads. Stop letting dealerships rob your trade-in and quit wasting time standing around at CarMax. Go to GiveMeTheVIN.com and give it a try. Just punch in your VIN number or plate number, post a few pics, and presto, you get an offer for your vehicle within seconds, and I give you more money guaranteed, or I send you a check for $100. This is smart, new, easy way to sell your vehicle for more money, and we'll come pick it up at your house or office. Take a couple of minutes and go to GiveMeTheVIN.com now.
Sell us your car. GiveMeTheVIN.com. So easy you can do it.
Most ads interrupt your music with dialogue. This ad interrupts it with more music, and that's marginally better. Thanks, Giant Snickers Hole.
The world is out of sorts. We need to fix it quicker. We're gonna fix the world.
Family is big around here. We're family-owned, family-operated, family-managed. And that means legacy. That means dependability. That means using Grainger. With over 1.5 million products and knowledgeable product experts, Grainger has whatever we need. And with same-day pickup and next-day delivery options, they have it whenever we need it. For over 90 years, businesses like ours have trusted Grainger. Because, like family, Grainger's got our back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness, this is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Welcome to the skating rink. I can see Jason on them. You didn't do the roller blades, right?
No.
You did the standard.
Had them wheels like a car.
Yeah, and you were
symmetrically balanced.
You were graceful, like a swan.
Mm-hmm. Speed skater, they called me.
Where was it? Was this at Skateland?
Down in do a little bit of Crystal Palace, John.
Oh. You didn't do the Skateland thing.
A little bit of Crystal Palace.
I did a little bit of Skateland. I'd run into the wall a little bit, but anyway, welcome to the disco. This is the Jason and John Show. Mark Giannato joins us every single Wednesday here on the show. You can read him over at commercialappeal.com. Listen to him every afternoon, 2 to 4. What's going on, man?
Not much. Usually he plays Welcome to the Party. That's the only way I know that. What's his name? Pop Smoke? What's the guy's name?
Oh, is Pop Smoke on that song?
I think so, right?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought
it was. That's all. Because this morning when I saw the news, it was kind of like for me with Nipsey Hussle, I was like, I don't know who this is, but I'm guessing I've probably heard a song of his. Mm-hmm. And then I was going to research it, but rest
R.I.P. Pop Smoke, but yeah, I didn't know who Pop Smoke was before he died. I'm sorry. I didn't, you know.
Well, it's that Welcome to the Party song.
And that's song that you picked there, right?
My thing with it is that's how I know I'm getting old, man. Like these rappers come along and pass. They pass away. And I'm like, I did not even know who that was. Like, that's been like the biggest sort of slap in the face that I'm like, I'm aging now, because there are rappers who are apparently big, like who's the one? Juice WRLD. He had like a seizure. He overdosed or something. I was like, I don't even know who that is.
That's a good thing about being like a rock fan, is there's no good new rock bands, so it's like,
yeah, it's the usual. It's like Kings of Leon, Foo Fighters, like
70s and 80s and 90s rock are as popular now as they were in the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
He's right. All right, lots to get today on the show, Mark. Let's start with the news that I think I saw it first from you, which is that the Big Three is coming. You didn't have any commentary. You just passed it along. You said the Big Three's coming. So am I to believe that you don't really care? Sports columnist here in Memphis?
To me, it's better than the basketball tournament or whatever it is. Like, I never covered those.
Right.
Plus, it's a main. We never got like the main event of the TBT.
Right. We got like the regionals or whatever.
The regional preliminary round, and the Memphis team never made it to the finals.
Cursed.
But so the Big Three, we're actually getting like a main Big Three event. It's in a pocket of the calendar there where, you know, it's before the golf tournament. It's after the NBA season ends. It's June 20th, right around the NBA finals are taking place.
Yeah.
I'll probably go. I think I will. There's some recognizable names. It's televised. I'd love to interview Ice Cube.
Sure.
And he goes to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like it's been fairly successful. I think I watched like a thing on Real Sports about it. And it seems like it's that, like, they fill arenas.
That's what I've been amazed by.
Yeah.
The people that are there actually into it and having a good time.
And now, isn't 3-on-3 basketball coming to the Olympics or something?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Has it not already?
I don't know. Because the Olympics, it's an Olympic year this year. So.
Yeah, I'd love that. Yeah, no, I'm down for that. I mean, I don't want to pretend. Like, I did pretend about the AAF. I'll raise my hand. When the AAF announced that it was coming, I pretended that I cared. I pretended that I was excited about it.
There's nothing I'm more happy about right now than the fact that I don't have to cover spring pro football this year.
Did you have to cover it though? If it was,
oh yeah, I mean it was. I'll say this: people were reading that
stuff.
They were
clicking on it, huh?
I don't know if it was here locally or whatever, but at the outset, I was only supposed to cover the first game because it was like the first game. But there was so much traffic on our stories for that, they're like, no, you got to go cover all the home games.
Wow.
And then Johnny Manziel came.
Well, that's true.
I mean, it was, you know, we did, I mean, Jason Munns was the beat writer of it, and it was, like, his stuff did really well. Like, it was, people were interested. I'm not sure if it was here in Memphis or whether it was people from outside Memphis reading our stuff.
Sure, it was some of it, too.
Yeah, it was, I think people were just curious about it, and we were an outlet that was covering it, especially Jason was covering it pretty, like a real beat, and so.
Yes.
But no, but with the big three, I bet you I'll go.
You got you.
Yeah, I'll write about it. It seems interesting.
You'll write about anything. I saw you writing a column from the rodeo the other day.
Yeah, bull riding.
That's what I'm saying, man. It's not nothing is beneath you. You will go everywhere and anywhere for the story, for the good story.
Yeah, I had never been to a bull riding event. I needed to check it off
the
list.
Was that a bigger crowd than they're going to get at the big three?
I'm going to be honest. It was a bigger crowd than some Memphis Tiger basketball games.
See, it's different. You get folks coming in from the tri-state area.
Oh yeah, it was. I mean, I didn't sense a lot of people from Memphis in that crowd. It was a lot of Mississippi, Arkansas. That you know.
How many were there?
I'd say the whole they would put a stage for a concert at FedEx Forum.
Absolutely.
That's where they kept the bulls. So the whole that area those steep bleachers where, like, the Memphis student section sits, those were all pulled in.
Yeah.
And so that whole side of the arena was – no one was sitting there. It was closed off. But I would say, like, essentially the horseshoe left, the entire plaza level was full.
Good grief.
The entire pinnacle level was full. And I would say more than half of the upper deck was full. Like, they said more than 10,000 to me is when I asked them how many people were there. And I would say that seemed about right, like about – 10,000-11,000 people were there.
How long did it take you to get your bearings in a place like that? And you know what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? How many black cowboys were out there?
More than I thought. Well,
you know, the black rodeo comes through here, man. It will blow your mind. Yes.
There was one participant, and he finished third. This guy, and I actually wrote about him because it was like he lives in Springfield, Missouri, and he's an Orkin man during the week. Works in pest control. But this was, and then he goes to these different bull riding events on the weekend. He's from like rural Georgia.
Two different lives.
Yeah, and it was like the best performance he's ever had in bull riding, and he finished in third, and made like $2,800. It's crazy though. I mean, I'm gonna be honest. Like, those guys are nuts. Like
the bull can literally kill you.
Essentially, a good ride in bull riding is you last for 8 seconds. That's a successful ride. Yeah. But even on the good ride, you still get bucked violently off the bull, and then you have to, like, scurry away in case so you don't get gored by a bull. And that's, like, a good ride. And, like, you know, like some dude got his face stepped on by a bull. It's nuts.
What would possess you to want to do that? Well, they'll clean all the dirt out of there, and East Carolina will be in there tonight. This one should be easy, right, for Memphis?
It should be, but at the same time, ECU took Cincinnati to overtime in their last game.
At their place,
like, this is a team in, you know, they have a player who's as good as anyone besides Precious Achiuwa on Memphis's team.
Mm-hmm. Jaden Gardner.
And Jaden Gardner. And they're a team that came in here and played Memphis close last year.
It was six. I went back and looked.
Yes.
78-72.
And it's a team that, if you look at the results, they're playing they're losing, but they're playing everyone tough.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot just show up and win. I mean, I think this team is proven.
Memphis is 13-point favorite.
And that seems high to me. That seems high to me.
Doesn't it? The way they've played offensively?
Now, I will say, I feel better about Memphis. I felt better about Memphis this past Monday, than I did the Monday after South Florida. Because I do think they played better against Cincinnati and UConn.
I felt that way after Cincy, but when you come close again and then kind of lose it the same way, you could sort of make the other case. But I'm with you fundamentally. They're playing better than they were against the end of South
Florida.
They're playing
better.
It's hard because they all end up looking the same. You know,
yeah,
they're all,
well,
you know.
And that's my problem with this argument that's out there that, like, essentially, and I mean, I'll be frank, it's like Gary and Jeff are really all about, like, James Wiseman's gone, DJ is hurt, so, like,
I've heard it
this,
all.
You know, like, yeah, you can't criticize what's going on here. And, like, I think in the big picture scheme, like, trying to make a judgment on whether Penny Hardaway will be a successful head coach and whether this is going to work, they're absolutely right. Yeah, because that happened, you can't do that. It's an incomplete season because of that. But to look at like individual games and suggest that like Penny is a above reproach in all of this, I think is ridiculous. They should have won the last three games, even though they didn't have James Wiseman and DJ Jeffries. They're up by 10 again. They're playing a bad South Florida team who they're more talented than. Should have won at home and should have won.
That's the one
that.
For me. That's what the last two just showed me on the road is that's the one. You really shouldn't have lost at home to South Florida. Even if you want to say could have and should have on these last two road games, what it really tells you is the talent was still there, and it should be absolutely embarrassing that you lost at home to South Florida.
But even in those road games, they're up late.
Yes, they were.
They played
a good
35 minutes, and it's a pattern. It's, you know, they did it against SMU, and they've done it. They did it sort of against Georgia as well. And like, you know, so to say like, you know, you can't criticize what's going on.
They should have beaten SMU at home. I mean, that's another
what I'm
one they
saying.
Should have
SMU.
Beat. I mean,
like,
if you have those home wins, you're in the tournament. That's the thing.
Yes.
That even as underdog on the road and you had the chance and you were up, you just win the ones you were supposed to win at home.
And,
you're in the tournament.
And what scared me a little bit about yesterday being at that press conference with Penny. So at first he said the right thing. He said, like, we are not above being criticized, like, you know, and like, but then he goes into, you know, it's hilarious the criticism we're hearing, which suggests he sort of does think he's a little above being criticized.
Well, I wonder if that could be in response to what you just talked about, the folks that say he should be fired, or, you know, that part is hilarious.
Like, who is saying he should be fired?
Yeah. There's a couple people, but it's a very small minority.
It's a minute number of people that shouldn't even really be.
It's people who are, yes.
Like there's one guy. There's one guy.
It's being talked about like they're all out there everywhere. I know. Yeah. To that point.
There's like one guy I've seen who's like said, Penny should have never been hired. And one idiot, like, whatever. Like, which is just not true. Like, he should have been hired. It was the right move. It always will have been the right move.
Yes.
No matter what happened. Like, even if by the end of it, like, he flames out. It was always the right decision, just from a purely financial, as you pointed out.
Yes.
But like, I really don't think there's anybody that says, like, they're just people who have, who I think have some valid concerns about, okay, where is it going?
Well, and what scares me about what Penny, like, Jarvis Greer was kind of asking Penny a couple questions. Like, he asked Penny, you know, because Penny, you know, Penny keeps talking about, like, we tell these guys this is what we need to correct, and it just doesn't transfer over into the games. And Jarvis's question was essentially like, you know, well, do you think you need to maybe change the way you're teaching things so it does break through to the guys? And Penny got real defensive about that and was essentially like, you know, well, these guys are overprepared, and, you know, and really kind of dug his heels in. And that scares me a little bit because, one, there's not a game this year where I've come away going, Memphis looked overprepared. I mean, it's just not the case.
Right. Well, whoever does look over.
No, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know.
But, like, if Penny doesn't think, if Penny thinks just because he lost James Wiseman and DJ Jeffries got hurt, that's why the season's going the way it's going.
Yeah.
That's fine, but there's also some things I think he needs to adjust, and maybe he's just not saying that publicly, but what he said yesterday, digging his heels in a little bit about essentially using James Wiseman's departure, which, by the way, like, to say like Penny wasn't involved in why James Wiseman left is also kind of, you know, forgetting the facts. Like, he's the one who paid his family ultimately.
Yeah, as a high school coach, though. I mean, that's the whole
point.
But we can go on to that.
As soon as he gave him money, he put James, whether he was a high school coach or not, as soon as he gave James Wiseman money, he put James Wiseman's eligibility in risk, whether he was going to come to Memphis or somewhere else.
Yeah, but you're telling me that in a world where Will Wade can pay him right now and talk about a deal and pay them as the college coach.
Will Wade didn't get caught.
He's on a wire.
As of now, he has not gotten caught.
But it's the NCAA's taste and want to get at it, right? And with those cases, you say, well, let's go through the process. With this one, it's let's get him busted, and we're going to do it with what he did as a high school coach. We're going to connect the dots, and we're going to do it right now. The selectiveness of that, Mark, is what I'm talking about. That's the part where Penny's got every right to be mad. Like, they came on down awfully quick, and again, they used the TSSAA case.
Yeah.
They had proof from the TSSAA.
Yeah.
They used that case to prove it. When they've got guys cheating right now as college coaches, and those sort of processes, well, we've got to get to it, they'll get their letter. That's what I'm talking
about. I agree, it's not fair, but like, I don't think they have proof that, like, that wiretap that Yahoo published, like, the FBI has not provided the NCAA with anything from their case. So I don't think they actually have that wiretap. All they have is a published report of the wiretap.
I understand that. But again, yeah, you get the gist of that is while he's coach. And mm-hmm. we're talking about something Penny did to get him, right, mm-hmm. for the NCAA. They had to connect something he did as a high school coach and pull this thin thing on you and call it a booster in that relationship. You mm-hmm. saw how thin that case was. To get him now, to get James Wiseman now, right, with this stuff with Will Wade that's happening while they're the coach there. They mm-hmm. don't have anything on Penny, no proof of any payment while he was the coach at Memphis. And yet they're out, Wiseman, they get them out based on the TWSAA stuff. But the college stuff now, they let, oh, you got to get the letter. Still, we've got to, you know, you
I still
what
think
saying?
Penny should not have paid James Wiseman to move here if he was like,
that was
James
again,
Wiseman was the number one recruit in the country, whether he went to Kentucky or wherever. As soon as he took money from Penny Hardaway, that kid's eligibility was in risk. Penny put his eligibility in risk by giving his family that money. Take out the Memphis
but
part
you,
of
you
it.
Realize at that point, Penny is not thinking, I'm going to be the coach at Memphis. Penny is thinking, I'd like to have this kid on my AAU team and over at East. That's
I agree,
the point.
But he's also thinking
point.
This kid is eventually going to go to college. And that money he gave him is going to put his college eligibility in jeopardy.
But you realize, as an impermissible benefit.
You realize if that kid had gone to Kentucky, it doesn't happen at all. So you're saying Penny should have backed off a kid that he had at East.
I don't know if
he
it
should have backed off at that point. Right?
I
in an NCAA that's as crooked and decides, you're giving me how selective it is, he should decide to back off on James Wiseman, a guy he basically helped raise the last 2 years in terms of the player he is. Like, is he really going to do that in an NCAA like this? No, he's
saying,
not.
But I'm just saying he's responsible for partly – like, he can't control that James Wiseman left the team when he did, but the sanctions that James Wiseman – the games James Wiseman had to sit out, Penny Hardaway played a role in
that. My whole thing is get Penny for something he did as the coach at Memphis with James Wiseman, not for something he did before that was not to sway him to go to Memphis,
they didn't
but was
get
clearly
Penny
to
on
get
anything.
Him to go to
they
East
got James Wiseman
squad.
On taking money. Like, Penny has not been punished at all.
Well, it's the booster relationship is the reason that James is out. I mean, that's part of it. You took money because from a booster of Memphis. So that does make Penny part of the story. Absolutely it does.
It and does, saying, but like even if Penny wasn't a booster, him taking money at all.
Right. The only solution in your thing was Penny should have backed off a guy that he recruited for 2 years, but no one would have in Penny's
shoes
would have done that.
My solution
would
have been
would have done that in an NCAA that's as crooked as we all know it to be.
If you were going,
it's ridiculous to think he would have should have done that.
If you were going to do what Penny did, you needed to be there. There needed to be no paper trail back to Penny.
How many grassroots coaches do you think are paying players? Like how many? Do you
oh,
think
I
Penny's
agree.
The
it's
only
happening.
One?
Oh no,
like that's how it goes
I am not
down,
saying,
bro.
But like I think, for instance,
like that's
I
the
think,
nature of it. There
I
is no governance of
John,
that.
I think if you put John Calipari or Mike Krzyzewski on a witness stand about all this, they would not commit perjury and be able to say, "I don't know what's going on." I don't think Penny could do that in the James Wiseman situation. It's very obvious they were able to directly link an $11,500 payment to him.
I understand
like,
that.
I think I agree. It's happening all over the place,
right,
and Penny's not doing
exactly.
anything differently than anyone else.
But you're saying he either shouldn't
else.
Have become coach or he shouldn't have recruited James Wiseman and let him go to Kentucky, and I'm telling you it's ridiculous to think he would have made either decision.
I think if
you're
I
absolutely
I think
go
if
after
I was,
in this day and age of
if
the NCAA.
If I was the Memphis athletic director and I found out about this payment, I would have told Penny you cannot recruit James Wiseman.
Now you're getting on to something with the president, the athletic mm-hmm. director, and the compliance department who should yes. have absolutely been all over him and said, tell me everything that's happened so we don't get waylaid by everything. You mm-hmm. should have absolutely done that because what you had to know, John, I'm sorry, Mark, is that this is the way Penny operated beforehand. It's the way AAU operated beforehand, mm-hmm. it where it's not governed. And so that was Memphis's mistake early on, is not surrounding him on both sides and saying, you got to tell us everything so we know. Mm-hmm. Then you'd be better prepared for all of this.
Right.
But again,
mm-hmm.
to think the idea that Penny, after 2 years with this kid, and moves him in here, right, to both play for the AAU squad and his E squad, is going to back off? Because he's worried about how it's going to – no. And I don't think any coach in his position, Stackhouse, or again, we're not talking about Cal or Kay because they're mm-hmm. established college coaches. This is a guy that's coming from the AAU world who would have said, no, actually, James, you're going to mess everything up. I know I've been with you for 2 years, gave you 11-5, but I'm not going to recruit you because nobody's going to do that.
Well,
he's not going to do that.
It speaks to the uniqueness of the case. Like, and that's why I think Memphis
again,
thought maybe there would be a little bit of lenience shown by the NCAA that we've never seen a case like this. What did you expect Penny to do? You know, I think that sort of informs the thinking that they had.
Again, they're punishing him for something he did before he was a college coach. They can't even
for
get
sure.
guys that are doing it now as college coaches
yes.
they won't come down on.
Yes.
Do you not? Is there not some kind of hypocrisy in that?
Absolutely.
There absolutely is.
But I still think at the time that Penny did that, he had to know that there was some risk assumed by him.
But
doing
he wasn't
it.
Trying to be the Memphis Coach.
For sure,
then.
No, that's there's the no, point. There's no question.
He
about
was
that.
In a world that's ungoverned.
Yes,
right. Nobody was
You're
telling
saying
him
he didn't
stop,
want to
stop,
be the
stop.
Memphis coach, but this is a guy who has said he was interested in the job when they hired Tubby Smith.
Brother, he could not have timed that out. That Tubby's going to get fired. He can
oh,
try
I don't
to do
think
everything.
He timed it out perfectly.
Tubby could
like
have won
that.
30 games exactly. So if you miss, right, then you miss James Wiseman and the chance that you're going to be the coach of James Wiseman
that's
at Memphis.
Fair.
Come on, that whole argument about he could have planned that out is
that's
ridiculous.
Fair. I still think I still think the whole Wiseman thing. He played a role in it. Like
he absolutely played a role in it, and Memphis should have protected itself a little bit more. But the point is, he should not have been the way the NCAA. They're so hot to get Penny, they're going to use something again. He did as a high school coach. Wait and pop him when he does something. When you catch him doing something as a college coach, I mean, again, they won't even go after the guys that are doing it right now in the most high profile of places. They allow them to continue to act, and yet with Penny, oh no, we're gonna shut this down pretty quick. That's the hypocrisy in all this. That's why you can't defend the NCAA on any of this stuff.
Now, what were we talking about?
We're just talking about how Penny is not. I just think there's some justifiable critiquing. I don't even know if criticism is critiquing of Penny.
And Mark, we
from
all I think we everybody in this room agrees with you on that.
And
we
also,
got off on a separate a separate topic there.
Yeah.
But we all agree with you.
And
on
I
that.
Also let me see what you guys think about this. Don't you think there is some onus on Penny? Now maybe it was impossible. But don't you think there's some onus on Penny to sort of insulate James and maybe not prevent, but make it harder for him to leave? Is there not some? Does nothing fall on Penny for that?
I think you're probably right on that. Like, you know, like it's just like with any other kid who's hearing voices telling him to transfer or whatever. It's I don't necessarily blame Penny for that.
I mean,
like it's hard. You know, it's in that situation. When a kid's family is telling him to do something, there's only so much you can do. I don't necessarily blame. The decision to leave, like, could Penny have, you know, maybe tried to get a little more control of the situation? Sure, but I don't know if I blame. You know, that seems like
I'm just asking if there's any onus at all. You know, any at all. You know, and I think, you know, there could be an argument there. I'm not blaming Penny for his departure. There were so many different factors at play. But
just in general, just from what we've seen, like, you know, Penny made the argument, like, what you're watching on the court, like, you have no idea. Like, we practice, we do all these things in practice that people don't know about. And I would just say, like, what you do in practice doesn't count. Like, or it doesn't really matter. It's what happens, what we're seeing in the games is what matters. And what a team that has some encouraging things that are happening structurally and foundationally, like the defense, like the fact that these kids play their butts off for him at almost every
it's
game.
A good team defensively.
Like those are good things Penny has instilled within the program. But like to sit here and say like the offense is just going to get it's like this offense is honky dory and everything's running fine. The fact that they, you know, these turnovers, the fact that there doesn't seem to be, it took him so long to find a rotation to, and there really isn't at this point. Like, we're in February and there's no, like, real offensive identity for this team. Like, I would hope he looks at all that and this offseason, whoever is on the team next year, and applies some of the things he's learned and not just saying, like, you know, listen, like we were overprepared. We, you know, as a coaching staff, we did what we needed to do and it just didn't translate to the court.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hope he's just saying that, you know, he's saying this now just to kind of, because we're in a rough patch and he doesn't want to expose the program to any more criticism and that he really has taken a step back from what he's seen. Because, like, the bottom line is, even without James Wiseman and DJ Jeffries, I think they should have won the last three games. I really do. They put themselves in position to win those two road games.
Once the game began, right.
Once the game began, they should have won those games.
Yeah.
And they didn't. And part of it is youth, but part of it is also, like, things happen in a game, and you've got to adjust as a coach moving forward, and I just hope he is open to making adjustments to what he does, because I think what he planned to do originally coming into college – isn't necessarily what is going to actually be what makes him a successful college coach. And I think the best college coaches adjust like that. Like, yeah, I, I was just talking to Brad in the back. Like, Illinois this year is playing a lot better. Like, Brad Underwood had two lackluster years his first 2 years. Mm-hmm. And if you go read stories about Brad Underwood at Illinois, yes, he got some kids from Chicago. Mm-hmm. That really helped. Like, Io DeSunmu, and he got the big kid. I forget what his name is. Kentucky was recruiting him, though. Kofi Cockburn.
Kofi Cockburn, yep.
And, yes, like, his personnel is significantly improved. But he also, like, reinvented how he was playing. He, like, went back and he brought in these people to, like, look at his team analytically, look at his team schematically, and he completely changed how he was coaching this year. And Illinois is seeing the benefits of it right now. And I'm not saying Penny has to do an entire overhaul, but I do think he needs to look. I think to suggest that everything that's happened this season is a moot point just because these two guys aren't here, I don't think that's right.
And this is where I think we're going to bring you two gentlemen together. I mean, that's where we're going to bring y'all back to the center and find a middle ground.
Because, already said we agree on that point.
I mean, I think it's really is I think as long as it's focused on, because that's what I'm looking at, right, is the basketball. Mm-hmm. And again, I acknowledge James is gone. But see, like, I guess my biggest thing with James, and I've said it before, is that, like, he was just so rarely a part of it. Mm-hmm. He didn't practice. He didn't play in the Bahamas. I know it was built around him. I know that in theory it was supposed to be, he was the fulcrum, right? But, like, when was he ever there?
Yeah.
I mean, he was hurt. He didn't play in the Bahamas. He didn't play in the exhibition games. He played in one meaningful game. That's it.
Yeah.
The rest of it was just,
and
like,
really only half of it.
Exactly, because he was in foul trouble. So the whole thing is, like, okay, yes, I get it. He was supposed to be the focal point, but he never really was. So how much of an adjustment was there really? Mm-hmm. You know, like, it wasn't like you went 18 games in the season, then he, you know, and then he left the team. You know, it was very different. So I just look at, okay, the offense continues to sputter. The turnovers continue to be a major issue. I mean, there are some absolutely disturbing numbers out there about the turnovers.
Well, and frankly, his rotation has been an issue the entire season. Like, and not necessarily like, yeah, like it, I think he does have a decent feel in the game of who should be playing, who he should ride, but it's just like coming, like, I don't think a lot of these kids had, until maybe the last couple weeks, have felt like they had a consistent role. Mm-hmm. They didn't know game to game what they were going to be asked to do. And I think especially, like, the thing that struck me about this team is Penny came into it saying, we're going to give him all this freedom. And I said this back in November and December. It felt like every time you watch this team, they were screaming for structure. Even if they wanted freedom, when you give these kids structure with their talent, and you've seen it, I think, lately. Like, Penny has really pulled hard on the reins more often lately. And I think they do better when they do that. And so that's to his credit that he has adjusted that part of his coaching style over the last couple weeks, in part because the turnovers were just getting ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, I mean, you know, another thing I would say is, I was thinking about the other day, like, you know, Antoine Jones transferred in part, like, because he didn't think he was going to play on this team. And I don't think Penny and them forced him out, but I also don't think they tried to keep him.
Well, I thought that was a deal where, look, we're about to recruit pretty hard. We need that spot.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was.
So,
I mean, that was like a, hey, we'll help you. We'll find you.
I'm pretty sure Antoine Jones would have loved to have stayed here.
He was kind of
saying that at
that's
the end.
Exactly
he was
right.
trying to say, please keep me.
Antoine
that's
Jones exactly would be right. a pretty good player for this team.
But from an experience standpoint, you wouldn't have expected that at that time. I mean, they were recruiting Lester Quinones. Obviously, Boogie Ellis came into the situation. Like, you wouldn't have. Yes, now, as DJ Jeffries is out, he would be. But, like, would he have?
If your point is just experience, you could use all
that. Not just experience. Like, I think he's a talented player. Like, honestly, I looked up David Wingett's numbers. He's playing pretty well for. I know it's South Dakota State. Guy's averaging 10 points a game and shooting 38% from three-point range.
Because he needed to be on that level, looking to me.
I worry that if Antoine was not getting the tick that he thought he deserved, like
he could become an issue. No, you're right.
You know what I mean?
Emotionally speaking.
So I think that I thought that decision to, you know, what for him to quote unquote transfer was the right one for everybody. But at any rate, you know, it's hopefully they can end the three game skid. It's just everybody is just.
I mean, if
the
they
worst
lose tonight, I think then there's like Penny thinks the criticism was hilarious before it.
You cannot lose, right? You're
right. If you lose this one, you're gonna get. You're
no,
really
it won't be very funny. It won't be very funny.
You're gonna get hammered, and I don't think they will. Because again, I think they played pretty well. That you know, except for a few key moments down the stretch of both those games, I think they played pretty well last week on the road, and so I expect them to win this game. And frankly, I would not be shocked if they beat Houston on Saturday.
See, that's what tells you that there's really no for this to be a moot point, you know, at this point. That we all believe that they've got a shot against Houston-Wichita State. Like, the eye test tells you that you know there's still enough talent there because you're not saying, oh, no, there's no way.
Like I don't know if they can win out, but I think there's on any given day they can beat it. They can still beat anyone in this
league.
Because
you and I, but we all both know there's still a lot of talent on that team. That's been the whole point the entire time. That's why you don't say, no, it doesn't matter.
There is a lot of talent on Giannotto and Jeffrey, which you can hear every afternoon from 2 until 4. That's where you'll be able to hear Mark this afternoon. Read his stuff at commercialpill.com. You got a Do you have a fiery column coming this week? Yep. Can we promote that? Do you have a fiery column?
We'll see. We'll see. We'll see.
Okay,
we'll
see.
Yes.
We shall see.
Yes.
We shall see.
I got a good one on John Morant coming out tomorrow.
Okay. No. All right. So there you go. John Morant column coming out. I can't get enough of that kid. All right, man. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, brother. We'll
be back. I talked to some of Penny Hardaway's peers about the job that he's doing, what they think about his recruiting, the future of the program, the job he's done this year. Maybe we get into that. A little bit later in the show. Jason and John, 90s here on FM, ESPN.
Celebrating a decade as Memphis at America's very best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hey, Memphis, this is Brian Reed, president of Best Care Plumbing, Heating, and Air, here with my sales manager, Derek. Derek, did your granddaddy ever tell you nothing in life is free?
There's no such thing as a free lunch.
There's no such thing as a free furnace either. When you think of heating and air, think Best Care. No gimmicks, no hassles. Call us today for a free estimate at 624-1401. That's 624-1401. We are your hometown choice for plumbing, heating, and air, and a proud partner of the Memphis Tigers.
You deserve the best. Best Care Home Services.
Hi, this is Wes McClooney, owner of the New Balance Memphis store. Achieving your personal best on the road or in the gym often comes down to how you feel. And when it comes to the right shoes, nothing feels better than New Balance. Shop at the New Balance Memphis store, where our in-store team is extensively trained to guide you through a personalized shoe fitting. The fit specialists at New Balance Memphis take precise measurements of your feet. Then, they analyze how you stand, walk, and run in order to determine your foot size, shape, and gait. Your individual foot characteristics are then matched against more than 48 New Balance models, resulting in the perfect fit. Feel the energy. Feel the strength. Be fearless. Feel the difference with the New Balance individual size and width advantage. Experience the difference of custom fit for yourself. Visit the fit specialists at the New Balance Memphis store today, located in the Cordova Town Center on Germantown Parkway behind the Outback Steakhouse. New Balance Memphis, your feet will thank you.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't hang up. You need to hear this. You gotta quit wearing that aviator jacket. Nobody's buying it. I'm sorry you have to hear it from me, but at Progressive, we're all about giving it to people straight. That's why we show our rates alongside our competitors' rates. And when you're helping people find great rates, you don't need some jacket to look cool. Just keep rocking that scarf.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparisons not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Credit Karma can help you make financial progress by giving you free scores, reports, and monitoring. But Credit Karma does not give you the love that only a mother can. It's just an app.
I miss my mom.
But you can use Credit Karma to help you improve your credit. But it cannot solve the eternal question surrounding the human condition.
Oh, come on. I need answers.
But signing up is free. No credit card needed. Just download the Credit Karma app now.
Oh, there's my answer.
Credit Karma. Here's to progress.
Hey, if Memphis takes the 2020 College Basketball Championship, every bet you make at the Fitz between November 1st and tip-off April 6th is a winning bet. Luck lives here. See Sportsbook for details. Must be 21 to gamble. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Memphis and surrounding suburbs, please make your plans to join Mayor Lee Harris for this year's State of the County Address, taking place at Collierville High School on Friday, February 21st. Doors will open at 3 p.m. See you there.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue, and this is Gary Parrish reminding you that it's Memphis Barbecue Company in Horn Lake. Melissa Cookston, the owner, has won 8 world championships, so she sets the standard high. Ribs are cooked multiple times per day to give guests fresh from the cooker quality, and when you order a pulled pork sandwich, the pork is hand-pulled right then and not a moment earlier. If you've been to Memphis Barbecue Company, you know it's legit. If you haven't been, go. It's at 709 DeSoto Cove, just off the interstate in Horn Lake. Check them out on the web, memphisbbqco.com.
You think you've seen something? You haven't seen nothing yet.
Yeah. Come on, all the smoke, baby.
All
give it to
the
us.
Smoke.
Matt Bond, Steven Jackson.
Talking about sports, life, culture.
We put the power in the player's hand.
I never told nobody this, ever.
I just want to get into good conversation.
Kerry Champion, Stephen A.
We got to talk. What's going on?
Dwayne Wade, Steph Curry.
I'm over here laugh crying.
it's good vibes only. You can find us here, over there, everywhere.
Radio.com and all major podcast platforms.
Peace.
If you woke up one morning and found that your roof was leaking, who would you call? An optometrist?
Okay, now, which way does the leak look clearer? Here or here?
It's still leaking.
Of course not. You'd want to talk to someone who specializes in your specific situation. And when it comes to marketing for your business, it's exactly the same thing. When you make a call for help, it's because you want it to work. It also...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.